Blog Talk Radio. Ministries. Before we get into today's study, I want to pray. Lord, I want to thank you first for making a way for this program to air to begin with. I ask you, Lord, to go to each person listening and open up their hearts and minds. And if they have any sins that could keep this message from entering their hearts, I ask you to forgive them. And all this I ask in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for giving me this opportunity to serve you and your children in whatever capacity you have enabled me to. If you have any prayer requests, comments, or questions, you can email me at jcoverkommersministries@yahoo.com. I will be happy to answer your questions to the best of my ability. And if I do not have the answers, I will be the first to tell you so. But I also will do my best to find out the answers for you. My website has many of these teachings in writing
and on audio.
And it is at www.jcoverkommersministries.com. Many of these teachings heard here on the radio are also available in video format on the internet at www.youtube.com/ncoverkommers. Again, that is www.youtube.com/ncoverkommers. Please take the time now to gather together a Bible, some paper, and a pen so you can take notes as we go along. I ask you to do this for two reasons. One, so you'll have references you can refer to later on, but also so you can prove to yourself whether these teachings are true or not. Our guide is the Word of God, so if I teach you something that does not line up with that Word 100%, I ask you to tell me. We all need correction, and if I teach you something wrong, it could cost me my soul. So please tell me. This study is on the flaming sword. Believe it or not, the tree of life is still available to us. When we were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, a flaming sword was put at the east of the Garden of Eden to keep the way of the tree of life. That is in Genesis 3. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. We need to find out what the flaming sword is if we want to get back to God and eat freely of that tree of life, because that is what stands between it and us. We will start this out in Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So from this one scripture we see, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Isaiah 66, verse 16. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. The Lord will use his sword to plead with us, because he does not want us to be slain. Now we go to Deuteronomy 4, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. In this verse, God spoke to them out of the midst of the fire to declare his covenant to them. His word came out from within the fire. Psalms 55, verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Here, the words of God's mouth are drawn swords. Revelation 2, verse 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. If we do not repent from our sins, God himself fights against us with the sword of his mouth. So the sword came out of God's mouth, and the word came out of God's mouth, and the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So from here it looks like the flaming sword that keeps the way to the tree of life is the word of God. It makes a lot of sense when you think about it, that the word would be the flaming sword that must be gone through in order for us to reach the tree of life. Because disobedience to the word of God is what got us thrown out of the Garden of Eden to begin with. Choosing the serpent's words over God's words is what separated us from God. So choosing, obeying, and believing in what God says could be the only way back to God. And that is why Jesus Christ had to come here as the Word of God to reconcile us with God, just as it says in John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Here you see that life and immortality is brought to light through the gospel. John 6, verse 51. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Again, eternal life comes through the Word. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word itself is God, and God is life. Romans 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Peter was talking about Jesus when he said in Acts 4, verse 12, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Again, the engrafted word is able to save our souls. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Since the word of God is the only way back to the tree of life, then wouldn't it be reasonable to think that we need to know as much about it or him as we possibly can? This time, we need to know the word so well that we cannot be deceived again, like we were the first time in the Garden of Eden. Psalms 85, verse 9. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Fear of God is also a requirement, according to this verse. Isaiah 33, verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. The knowledge of God is vitally important for us. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Even Jesus himself, when he was tempted of the devil, spoke these words, saying in Luke 4:4, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That shows the power of the written word. Because Jesus went through so much to give us a second chance to live with God and be reconciled back to him, if we are going to follow Jesus, we need to be able to see him as he really is. The most important thing you will need to learn about God is a Bible. Other than a Bible written in the original languages, there is only one that I can recommend to you, and that one is the King James. Of the other Bibles that I have studied from, none of them have the same consistency that the King James does. That is critical when trying to solve or interpret parables and to understand what the Lord is talking about from Genesis to Revelation. A good Christian bookstore will have someone that can show you all the different options you may choose from in a Bible and how to use each option. The next thing you should do, if you can afford to do it, is purchase a Strong's Expanded exhaustive concordance of the Bible. It contains the original meaning of each word, back to the Hebrew or Greek languages. It gives you a clearer picture of all of the things that each word could mean. And that is very useful if you don't quite understand what a word means. It will also show you where in the Bible you may find that particular word. It will give you every scripture that contains that word. That can be very useful if you want to find out, for example, what the word sword means in the context of the Bible, in God's eyes. For example, when the Bible describes a sword in a mouth, if you look up the word sword from Genesis through Revelation, you will get an understanding of the interpretation that God had when He put that word in there. Another thing I would recommend that you purchase would be a good Bible dictionary. One that I would highly recommend would be the New Unger's Bible Dictionary by Merrill F. Unger. I'm sure there are probably better ones out there, but I'm just saying that out of the ones that I have seen, it is my preference. When I study the word, I want to find out why God used a certain word in the place He did, and what He was trying to get across to us. Reading through the Bible over and over will get you a better understanding, because each time you read His word, if you pray ahead of time, He will give you understanding and open up His word to you, if you have a sincere heart to get to know Him. In order for you to know someone, you have to spend time with them. If you are raising up a child, you start out with milk for food. If you're going to raise up a spiritual child, you must feed that child the milk of the Word. That child needs nourishment every day. Would you let a baby go without feeding it? If you do, that baby is going to die. That can also happen to the spiritual child as well. Then, as that child starts to grow up and mature, then it's ready for meat. God gives us what we are ready for in His Word, step by step. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall He teach knowledge? And whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Each time you read the Word, you get a little taste of the goodness of the Lord. His Word is full of patterns all the way through it. You see, God wants us to get close to Him. He wants us to have a close relationship with Him, just like what we started out with in the Garden of Eden. Back then, we were close companions with Him. That is our desired goal, walking and talking with Him, just as a child does with their father. A child knows who his father is. He knows his voice, and he comes to him when he is being obedient. I remember as a child growing up how the other children often would tell me, "My daddy is bigger than your daddy." They would brag about their fathers one to another. I can now firmly say, my Father is greater than them all. And I want everybody to know about Him, so they also will know just how wonderful He truly is.
Hello. Now that the teaching is over,
We are now open to callers. That call-in number is 646-478-5014. Please join us on the line if you have any comments, questions, or prayer requests that you'd like to bring forth. I'd sure like to hear from you. You're more than welcome. Also, if Lee is out there, now'd be a good time, hon, for you to go ahead and call in. We're ready for you. Let me give her a little nudge here in case she doesn't realize it's time. I'm going to write to her real quick. Okay. In the meantime, while I'm waiting for her to call in, she's my co-host, and her name is Lee. In the meantime, I'd like to hit a couple scriptures that also, in a way, talk about the word and how it's not only the flaming sword, but according to what Jesus Christ told us, he's also the door to the sheepfold. And in order to get life, we go through him, because he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he is the Word of God manifested in the flesh. Revelation 3, verse 20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus actually comes into us and sups with us. When we open up his word and allow those words to come into our hearts and minds, we actually are allowing Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and minds. And from there, he feeds us through his word. And as we have that Bible open, he will guide us and nourish us from the words, from the pages of that book. Is that you, Lee?
Yes, it is.
Praise the Lord. You want to introduce yourself, hon?
Praise the Lord. Well, I guess on the radio network, I'm known as Lily, and I am just here to join in with Cheryl. Listen, learn, and just be here in case she wants to ask a question.
Now that you're on blogradio.com, I understand you got registered today?
Yes, I did, but I didn't get to finish it because I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do.
Okay, well,
I'm working on it.
It sounds like Lee's going to be having a program starting before too long also. Hopefully we can get hers up and running also. And that would be awesome because this lady sure has some good stuff from the Lord to feed us with, let me tell you.
Well, thank you. It's like we all work for the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants all the little nuggets out there to his body. So everybody has something to share from the Lord.
And if any of you out there that are listening in would like to call in and share anything with us, you may call in at, let's see, the number is 1-646-478-5014, and we would love to hear from you. If you have any input that you would like to give us on the program, I'd love to see it. Okay, I don't know if I lost my chat here or not. It looks like it might not be up anymore. I'm not sure what happened.
When I called in, it said if you want to be in query to talk to the host, you press 1, and I did that. Was that wrong?
Nope, that's just exactly what you were supposed to do. I'm trying
to see
if my chat's still up, but I don't see it. Huh. Maybe I'm on the wrong thing.
Maybe someone has to get on chat first, do you reckon?
I'm still learning this. I think I'm going to pull it up again because it looks like it might have shut down. So I'm going to pull it up again. And that way, if somebody wants to get on there and just write in and chat with us, they're more than welcome to do that. Okay, it looks like it's still on there, but I don't see anybody else listed. Okay, any of the listeners that are out there, you're more than welcome to call in. And in the meantime, I'd like to go to another scripture. Unless you have anything in particular on this topic, Lee, that you'd like to add?
Now, what is the topic tonight?
The flaming sword that keeps the way to the tree of life.
Oh, yes. Well, no, I need to learn that. I want to find out, you know, more about that. So,
oh, you
Lord,
didn't get
yours.
A chance to listen in to the first half hour there?
No, I froze up. I had to turn my computer off and come back in.
Oh, no.
I know.
Well,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That flaming sword is what God put in the Garden of Eden that keeps the way to the tree of life. It's like it guards in front of the tree of life. And we have to go through that flaming sword in order to get to the tree of life. Well, that flaming sword is actually the word of God. Just like Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, we have to go through him, and he is the word. So we have to go through him in order to get to that tree of life. That's also why he's called the door to the sheepfold, is because we have to go through the door in order to get to the tree of life. He also has the keys to hell and death. Well, what do keys do but unlock the door? And that way you have to unlock the door before you can open it. And so all of that is within the Word of God. The keys are there. The door is there. The flaming sword is there. And the end result of us seeking him through the Word of God is that we find the tree of life. That's our ultimate goal.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Well, what would you say the keys are? Not just to open that door to the tree of life, but does it have other meaning when it talks about the keys?
Yeah, I think it is an understanding of the Word of God. It's like, I call them keys of knowledge because there's little tidbits all over in the Word of God, like patterns that he's put in there. And each time we start understanding the Word of God, it unlocks more and more of the Word of God to us. It's like people have written books about the Bible codes and things like that. Well, the English words actually have codes within them also. That's why God said, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It's little secrets that are in different parts of the Word of God that he has hidden, and the only way we're going to find those treasures is to start digging. And we dig through the Word of God in order for us to find those treasures. It's like a tree spreading its roots. As you dig into the Word, if you're the tree, your roots are going deep down into the Word of God, and you get the nourishment from the Word. The roots suck up that nourishment from the Word of God. If you could just picture a tree on top of the Word of God and its roots are going through those pages, taking in the nourishment, that would be like us when we open up the book. And we're allowing the nourishment from the Word of God to come into us, and that's how he sups with us. He's feeding us. He's the door to the sheepfold. He leads the sheep to pasture. That pasture is where the sheep eat. They eat the grass. Well, in the Word of God, he is what we're supposed to be eating. And he said in John 6, verse 63, and let me get there real quick. Take me just a minute. John chapter 6, and then go to verse 63, and I love the sound of the pages of that book. Did you know also that the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations? And the Word of God is written in a book. Well, books were always known to have their pages, were always known in ages before the pages of books were referred to as leaves. If you look up the word leaf in an old dictionary, I think you'll find that it's actually talking about one of the definitions for the word leaf is a page in a book. That's why God said the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, because the Word of God that's within those pages is what brings healing to our hearts and minds. Okay, John 6, verse 63. Let's see. Now, wait a minute. I don't want that one yet. Let's go back to we're still in John 6, but we're going to go back to verse 53. And if anybody has any comments, I sure would welcome you to call in. I haven't seen any callers yet, but you're sure more than welcome to call in. All right, let me pull this back up. Excuse me. Uh-oh, I lost it. Let me try again. My program closed down on me, so I'm going to have to pull it up again. That's John 6, I think I said verse 53.
63.
Okay. All right. It says, "Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Well, we get raised up at the last day because the Word of God is life. And the Word of God is actually what does the work in us. If the Word will never pass away, it cannot die. And so it's always life. So if we have that Word within us, we have the life of God. But it's not going to be quickened if we're not obedient to it. Okay. So it says in verse 54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That flesh that we're supposed to eat is actually the Word of God. We communion with God when we take his Word, which is the Word was manifested in the flesh of Jesus Christ. So when we take in the Word, we're actually eating his flesh, his spiritual flesh. Okay, verse 55 says, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Okay, that's basically the picture of communion, where they took the cup of wine and drank of it, and Jesus broke the bread at the Lord's Supper. He broke the bread and gave to his disciples and told them to eat. Okay, that is the picture that these scriptures are talking about. But there is a spiritual picture that Jesus was trying to show them through the physical. He gives a physical example of what we're supposed to do in the spirit. When we take in the wine and the bread, we're taking in the bread of life, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. Okay. Verse 56 says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." If we have him within us through his Word, he is dwelling in us. And we are in him if we have him within us. Verse 57. I don't know how much time we have left. I guess I better take a look. Oh, we got another 20 minutes. We're good to go. Praise God. All right, let's see. 57. "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. Jesus did not have any life in him except that the Father was dwelling in him through the Father's word. The word within Jesus is what was giving him life. Okay. I live by the Father, it says. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. We consume the word, and the word is life. Verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever, because the word will not pass away. Let me find that scripture. It'll take me just a minute because I got to open up another program. And it talks about my word shall not pass away. Well, I've got to find that scripture, unless you happen to know where it's at by chance, Lee.
Oh. I'm not sure. I've got verify here 49:51, but there aren't 49 chapters in John.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, here's one. I just
maybe
found
it's verse 49 and 51, I guess. We've already been there.
That's okay. Here's one in Matthew 24:35. But anybody that's listened, stay a hold of John, though, so that we can flip back there.
Now,
what
I'm talking
to,
about the living bread.
Yeah.
Verse
okay.
51. Okay.
Okay. Well, Matthew 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away. Well, passing away would be to die. When someone dies, we say they passed away. Okay, so this scripture, Matthew 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The word of God will never die. It stands forever. Okay, so if we have the word in us and we're obedient to it, we will live forever. Another picture of this is when Jesus broke the loaves and the fishes to feed the multitudes. At the end of that, what happened was he called the disciples and he had them gather up the fragments. All the food that didn't get ate, you know, he just had a few loaves and fishes. And he fed the multitudes. There was like 5,000 or 7,000 at different times that Jesus was feeding with just a few loaves and fishes. But at the end, he would have the apostles or the disciples go and gather up the fragments, and he would say that none or that nothing be lost. I can't remember if it's none or nothing. Okay, so in the end of the world, the word of God is going to return back to God again. So this was a physical picture, again, of the spiritual thing that's going to happen in the end. The word of God will get gathered back up to God in the end. A lot of people will call this the rapture. Well, it's wherever God is where it's going to get gathered. Okay, if God's on the earth, it'll get gathered there. If God's in the clouds, it'll get gathered there. If God's in heaven, it'll get gathered there. So in the end, all of the word is going to return to God. Okay, so if the word is in us, we will return to God right along with the word. Isn't that awesome? And so when they gathered up those fragments, it was a picture of the end, when the word is going to get gathered up again, because that bread symbolized the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ, the word of God. Am I losing you?
You know, he talks about a famine in the end for the word of God. Maybe that relates to that also, gathering up the bread at the end.
No, that famine is because the word got changed. And so, you know, people are not wanting the Word of God as much. They'd rather listen to the lies of the enemy instead. And so there's a famine for the Word of God. People are hungry and they're starving, and they don't realize that it's the true Word of God that they're looking for.
Right.
Because they're filling themselves with all the other things instead.
We were talking about the Word of God being life, and, you know, all the things that we talked about first. Well, what about the people that they almost memorize the Bible and they'll say, I live by the Word of God, but they don't have the spirit of the Word in them? In other words, I feel like they'd be lost if they didn't have that Bible.
Okay. There are people like Paul that believe the Word of God, but he was obeying it from his flesh instead of through the Word. Instead of through the Spirit, he was obeying it through his flesh. That's works of man instead of the works of God. Instead of him believing it in his heart, you know, he had his flesh circumcised, but he hadn't circumcised his heart. You know, down deep, he didn't have the understanding. He really didn't know Jesus. All he knew was the book. That's why we need the Spirit of God. That's why we have to have a love for God in us. And when we're obedient to the Word from the heart, that is when the Word gets quickened to us, because God looks upon our heart. He sees the thought and intent of our heart. Does that make sense?
Except that Paul said once, you know, once he heard from the Father, he didn't confer anymore with flesh and blood. Like, he got his instruction, final instruction from the Father, and then he didn't pay any attention to flesh. And he did say he spoke in tongues. So, you know, I believe he had the Spirit. Maybe he was just learning in the beginning of it, you know, but...
Yeah, okay, I need to write to, I want to welcome Thinking Theology to our group. I just noticed I've got all these different programs open on my computer, and so I just noticed that you were on here. He writes in here, a Christian must shine light, a star in the universe. Okay, I think he's talking about a Christian must shine their light just like a star in the universe for Jesus Christ. And he refers to Philippians 2:12. So let's turn to Philippians 2:12.
Okay.
And read that verse that he's referring to. Thank you for your input, by the way, also. I really appreciate it. You got it? Would you read it?
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Oh, praise the Lord. That's one of my favorite verses. Thinking Theology, if you could, would you like to call in to us and get online so that we can talk a little more open? You're more than welcome to. We'd love to. Oh, he says it was supposed to be light, a star instead of light. Well, praise God. That's okay. You're more than welcome to call in. Oh, he wants us to read verse 12 through 15. Would you do that, Lee?
Okay. Verse 13 is, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Amen.
Would you say that when you see stars, if someone saw stars when they were praying, how would you describe that?
I don't know.
You know, in relation to a person,
Their light is shining, evidently.
Yeah. does sound like it would be good.
We've got another caller on the line, and that's Thinking Theology. I don't know what your name is, so I guess that's what I'll call you for now. Welcome to the line. Would you like to comment? Hello? Are you there? Whoops.
Hello?
Maybe I didn't. Hi. I'm sorry.
Hello?
I didn't get up there.
No, that's fine. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. We got about 9 minutes left here.
Yeah, you guys were commenting on some stuff, and I just thought about Paul's statement here in Philippians 2, you know, when he talks about he's dealing with the Christian code of ethics, and he said, of course, that it's God's working in you, and as God works in and through us, we are therefore to be, you know, the instruments of righteousness and to shine like stars and to be that, you know, beacon of light for the bread of life, who is namely Jesus Christ. And so I just saw the correlation between John 6, what you guys were talking about, and also with what Paul was talking about in Philippians 2, and thought that was an interesting, connection there.
Oh, absolutely. And we're supposed to let our light shine before men.
Absolutely, yes.
And the light is the word. So the more word we have, the more light we're going to have.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, was it Jeremiah who said that, you know, he digested or he ate the word of God, because it does provide that source and it does provide the energy and the strength that we need to live daily for him.
Amen. Okay, Jeremiah 5, verse 14 says, and I'm glad you brought that up because I already had that verse up here.
Oh, great. I couldn't recall then.
It's not the verse you were talking about, but it's pretty close.
Okay, good.
Jeremiah 5, 14 says, "Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would... and it shall devour them." Well, fire gives light. And the word is the fire of God, which is what we were talking about with the flaming sword, because the flaming sword is what guards the way to the tree of life. We've got to go through the word of God in order to get to life.
Amen. I agree with that. It is its life. And it's sad today that there is such a disconnect with the Word of God in most churches. And I know there are exceptions to that rule, but our Bibles become dusty, they become alienated from us, except when it's proper to carry our Bible, and that's on Sundays or Wednesdays or whatever time, you know, the quote church gathers. And it is the life-giving source, and so I don't see how you can have Jesus and not have his word. When you have Jesus, you have his word. A good friend of mine said that the Bible is simply Jesus on the pages, you know, Jesus on paper, and I think there's something to that. You gotta have both of them, you know, in order to have that life.
Absolutely.
The Rhema word, I'd say, wouldn't you?
What did you say?
The Rhema word is the spoken word of God.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, can never go against the word of God, but, you know, on the page. But think about the disciples. They didn't have this Bible that we have.
Yes.
So we're really glad that we have it.
Yes.
And the word is alive. Let's go on in John 6, where we were at, because what you guys are talking about, we're really heading right to that.
Okay.
6, verse 57. This is John 6, verse 57. It says, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." There's your flesh bread that it was talking about before with the manna that came down from heaven. And then there's the spiritual bread that Jesus brings. Verse 59 says, "These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?'" See, they were thinking that he was actually talking about taking his arm and taking a bite out of it, where he was trying to give them a spiritual picture, and they didn't get it. And even when we take communion today, we're supposed to discern the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to do it with an understanding of this is the physical example of us communing with the Word of God. Verse 60 says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is,'" now here he shows you from this, the picture he was giving them in the flesh, he shows here in this next verse that it's actually a spiritual picture that he was trying to bring to their understanding. Verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." Quickeneth gives life. The Word is what quickens us. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And I think you brought that up, Lee. And that's the verse that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm, that's good. Since we're running out of time, I was wondering, can we carry this over to chat with the rest of any questions or answers?
I think so. I don't know if it'll shut down, but we can sure try. Anybody that wants to stick around on chat and they have any questions, they are more than welcome to bring those questions up. I would love to continue this. This is what I do. I love God. Anybody got anything else to say? We got about 2 minutes left.
I appreciate the study and appreciate you guys taking my phone call, and I certainly look forward to future studies. You guys air every night?
Every Thursday night.
Every Thursday.
11 o'clock Central Standard Time.
That's great. All right, guys. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Well, God bless you too. See ya. Send me a friend request if you would there.
Okay, I certainly will. Is this JC? Is that your name, JC Overcomers Ministry? Jesus Christ Overcomers?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that'll be great. Thank you.
And mine is going to be Sarah Lee, 144, when I get it set up.
Okay, that'll be great.
Okay, look forward to talking to you.
Will you say that again, Lee? Will you say that again before we get off here? We got less than a minute.
I got Sarah Lee, 144. They wouldn't take just Sarah Lee, so I put 144 on it.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. God bless you all. I think we're just about done.
Okay.
I think it said 30 seconds we have left. So write to me. Send me an email at jcovercomersministries@yahoo.com if you'd like to. And God bless everybody that joined us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Lee.
Okay. You're welcome. I'll holler at my question on Skype for you.
Okay, or you can get on the chat and write to me. We've got a couple guests.
Okay. How do I get on the chat?
You got to go through that link.
Well, yeah, I'm not on the link. See, I just called directly in. So.
Okay, you'll have to click on the link that I sent you.
Okay.
All right.
So are you adding up time now? Just go on over to chat.
I'm on chat on the link right now.
Okay.
Not on Skype, but I'm on the chat on Blog Talk Radio.
I'm looking. I'm going down.
You got 13 seconds left. Anybody that wants to chat, join us in on the chat there. I'm going to try to keep it open. I'm not sure if it'll do it, but we're sure going to try. God bless you all. Bye-bye. I think that's the end.